All right, we're going to get this kicked off today. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are facing IDS here in industry, what real people are doing implementing IDS, and just kick off a general discussion of what sort of problems people are having, sort of solutions they have, where the technology is going. And we've got some guys here that got quite a bit of experience in IDS. We got Jason Damron, Jason Lopez, Albert Gonzalez, Cliff Flint, I'm Brian DeLine. All of us have dealt with installations that have numerous sensors and various products in the environment. Obviously, all fluent with TCP/IP at the low level. So hopefully we can get some conversation flowing with you guys. And
they're on.
Yeah, we're good. hopefully get some conversation flowing with you guys so that we can talk about some of the challenges that you guys are facing, maybe give you some ideas about where to go or what's just happening with things. So I guess I would actually like to start out asking the audience, is there anything you guys are wondering about the current state of IDS or problems that you're facing in your environment that maybe these guys might be able to address during our discussion today? Okay, how about I fire one off? One of the big problems with high-speed networking is it's difficult to collect IDS data off of it. Whether you're talking about gigabit Ethernet or you're talking about high-speed internet, in the OC3 range and up, it's very difficult to get in line to look at it and even capture the traffic. What sort of things are you guys seeing companies do to address high-speed access and get in there and tap them, look at them, sniff them, split them up, what sort of products are out there? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Well, not really product, Mike.
Can we move these towards the center of the table a little bit?
It's not really about products and stuff. It's mainly you don't need a product to go ahead and do what you can do with general. Well, you have appliances and whatnot, but the main thing I've seen is splitting up the balance. Instead of having one system do everything, it's crap out. You want to balance it out, have maybe load balancing for this one. He'll handle maybe 100 megs of link. The other IDS will handle another 100 megs and spread it out. The more you spread it out, the easier the load is for each intrusion detection system. The more they give them, the worse it is, as of course everyone knows. But, you have VLANs and et cetera, you can plug them in. It's just a lot of things.
It's just breaking it up into smaller chunks to handle.
That's the main thing I've seen. I haven't had any experience with it. I don't have that kind of resource to have a gigabit line max. I can do maybe 100 megs, and I can handle that with a nice installation of Snort. But to me, that'd be the best idea instead of one appliance. I'm sure you have people selling gigabit sensors. You have SourceFire doing it. You have ISS doing it. So it's all a matter of what?
Dragon.
And Dragon.
Dragon, exactly. And Terasys is dying.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good end for what do you guys recommend for a mid-sized company that wants to know if I'm really worried about that the five servers that we have up facing the internet, whether or not they've been hacked. What sort of IDS system would you say they need to be looking at? Is it worthwhile for them to deploy IDS?
I guess a given with that, for a mid-sized company, I can't say who I work with because you guys would probably hate me. But
who do you work for?
It'd be one of those guys that do intrusion detection that we don't like.
ISS. I'd say for the mid-sized companies, I'd say the open source is probably your best option. I mean, just for price-wise. Yes, I mean, sales, okay. But that's just my input, sorry.
I would say at least to assess the need for an IDS, there's no harm in going and grabbing Snort. It takes up one box. If you have, if you're a mid-sized company, if you're worried about security, I would start there. If you decide that you need, a better back end or more functionality on your NIDs up front. You can look at a commercial tool after that, but I'd start with Snort.
I go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably better off putting your money into just making sure your system is hard. But that's never going to get you through. Unfortunately, anything that's watching what's coming in when you're trying to do real-time intrusion detection, you're kind of at the whim of whether or not they've got the new hack that isn't in your virus sniffer equivalent that's watching for things. Something like Checkpoint, just watching to make sure that everything that's on your disk is what you thought was there, or at least the critical files haven't changed, is just, it's so easy to put in, you're stupid to not do it. Most of the hacks that I've seen have been robots coming in dropping rootkits. And if you catch them within a day, that's all that's happened. So something like Checkpoint actually saves your ass, because you can get there and root out the rootkit before it's had a chance to phone home.
Are you thinking Checkpoint or Tripwire?
Sorry, Tripwire.
Okay, yeah, Tripwire. Yeah. So you can sign your files, just get an idea. We got a question in the back here.
Just the way you phrased your question, it seemed like you were focusing on a threat from the internet-facing side. Is that really what we're focusing on here? Are we neglecting the trusted side? Are we neglecting IDS?
The question was, is should we be concerned about the inside of the network as well as the externally facing network? Is that... Okay.
Yes. With an internal policy, of course.
I mean, you're not going to just have one, of course, you're not just going to have one IDS sensor, right behind your gateway, sniffing traffic. You're going to have them all throughout your networks on different subnets, because you have to worry about the internal threat, of course. That's a given.
You also have host base that sit within your network anyway, so those are going to be inside protecting your critical systems as well.
I mean, you can do the triple of tripwire, file integrity. You can do the server sensors. It's set on the server itself, the network sensors that monitor the traffic on the network itself. Of course, the layers upon layers of security is your best option.
I think that gets into an important point that prior to any sort of security policy, we need to step back and say, this is important information for us, or these are important resources. And none of us have enough resources to protect all of our assets 100% with everything that's possible to protect them with. It's just not practical. So we need to define layers of importance to different resources. And you protect both. That would be the Leatherman that was flying across
that worked.
The room.
Appreciate it.
You protect gold with gold, silver with silver, and copper with copper. You if you have a... an internally facing server that hosts a non-critical app, does it make sense to put, a $2,000 sensor in front of it? Probably not. You have an IIS box that does credit card transactions for your company. Does it make sense to run Tripwire, host-based IDS, network-based IDS, have an analyst looking at a real console for that? Maybe. So I think that does bring up an important point that, prior to any sort of security engagement, you really do need to target your resources appropriately. As far as the insider threat, in your guys' experience seeing some companies deploy stuff, are companies paying attention to that?
Oh, definitely. Of course, your worst threat is from the inside. They know everything. And that's just a given. Whether it's the typical user or, someone more knowledgeable that just wants to screw around. That's a total given. That's your worst threat of all. And so that's why you have your multiple sensors. So that's why you can have individual sensors on the boxes, your critical boxes. Of course, not everybody's going to follow your security policy. So, like I said, the layers upon layers, of course, is a given with your file integrity systems, tripwire, your internal sensors monitoring each subnet, your server sensors monitoring your critical servers. The biggest threat is from inside just because of all the available information. I hate to state the obvious, but...
Well, the first stage of an attack is reconnaissance. Once you come in from the inside, you don't need to do that first stage of attack. Which you already have all the information you need. You go to admin, I have this problem. Could you explain to me why
this doesn't work. As an employee, you have that trust with the admin. It makes it easier even bring in the aspect of social engineering. You can even go, hey, you know, I'm having problems, but I would like to learn more. Could you explain to me why this and this and this and this works this way? You have an abundance of information. He won't even start thinking of, you know, hey, this guy maybe is trying to get information from me. You're already on the inside. You already have that trust. So it makes it, let's say if the probability of the attack was 50%, you just increased your chances of actually breaking into the system. So for if you want, you know, if you have those type of things, you can't not overlook having internal security.
I would like to know if any of you have played with an open source program called Preload, which is related to what you're talking about as far as insider threat goes, multiple sensors. What do you think of the program overall? Have any of you used it?
I haven't had the chance of implementing it. I've read the documentation on the website, and I've actually gone over the slides they had for their, I think it was LSM over in France. But it's quote-unquote hybrid, as they want to call it, host-based and network-based. I haven't got a chance to play with it, but I've heard it incorporates a lot of things. You could use HoneyD logs, GR security logs. You have host-based and network-based talking to each other to a central database. So in the sense of making it quote-unquote hybrid, sorry for the sales marketing talk, it's a good step in the right direction for open source. You have, of course, your actual products that do, I'm going to assume, a better job, assumption, you know. But it looks like it's a step in the right direction. We'll see. It's still, like Snort, still needs a lot of help. And Prelude hasn't had the success of Snort, so not many people have deployed it and found the bugs, et cetera, found the problems with it, applied patches, et cetera. Snort is more mainstream, so it's more community-friendly, if you would say. Get a lot of more help from the community.
That brings up a good point, though, is that you're discussing host-based logs, network-based logs, you know, server logs. What tools are out there in the open source community that allows you to consolidate some of those logs and actually make some sense out of all that data? You know, it's very easy for an analyst to get overwhelmed by data. You know, what are you guys seeing done? You know, database backends, custom code?
Well, my experiences with that is most companies, they don't see they'll hire an engineer, I've seen rather pay for software. You have correlation software out there. Some good. I've had an experience of implementing ArcSight, which was fun. And I very rarely say something's fun about my job, but it was fun. And you have, it correlates anything you want, Nessus, Nmap. You have LandGuard, Internet Security Scanner. You have Dragon logs, Cisco logs, whatever you want, it can correlate it for you. And it's also good for companies this way, but it's not good for people like me who make money off this. You need less people. And a lot of people lean towards that. Okay, well, we have a team of 20 people monitoring our networks. Why don't we just grab a software, make it, trim it down to 5? Yeah, we spend more money on the software, but it'll pay itself with the annual salary.
That brings up a good point. When we were discussing the smaller size businesses, we seem to be coming to consensus that they don't need necessarily a large commercial product, but a tool like Snort requires a high degree of expertise to not necessarily implement, but if you're going to run with it and make sense of the data and be able to follow up and see if attacks are real, and you really need an engineer or an analyst that really knows what they're doing. Would that push you towards a commercial product as opposed to an open source product?
I think that would push you more. If you didn't have the security engineer on site, that would push you more for a managed service solution. So you might have to go to a commercial product then, but you'd have somebody who, you know, you could trust, I guess, who could run that for you.
What one of the places I work with does, they've got somebody on site that's basically a 2-year tech that really doesn't know a whole lot. But she reads every log every day. She knows what the system looks like. She knows how it behaves. When she sees an entry that she doesn't know, she fires me email. Then I SSH in, make sure that it's either good or say, whoops, we got a problem. Time to, you know, do some back and fill. But that means that they have basically a cheap person doing all the day-to-day stuff. And the cheap person knows what the system looks like, and that's what you can't replace, is somebody who knows what's normal.
Yeah, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then the high price spread when you need it later. Okay, sorry.
I was going to say, I guess, yeah, the problem with the, the open source or the, let's say, less educated persons assigned for intrusion detection is that, yeah, a lot of the information, I mean, it is pretty in-depth. I mean, I've been working in security for the last 2 years. There's still a lot of information coming in. It's hard to get what's real, what's a true attack, what's a false positive, just to differentiate between the two, because we're seeing, I mean, for a managed services company, we see a lot of information come across, a lot of policy tuning, just to make sure that, you know, the traffic going to a certain point is legitimate, looks legitimate. I don't want to, you know, downplay anybody, but it's quite overwhelming if you don't know what you're doing. But open source is still good for medium to small sized companies. I say just for the price.
That's also a huge thing, very huge. This is one of the biggest problems with intrusion detection systems. You have management coming to you and going, "Hey, we need security, deploy it." If it's a sysadmin, you know, who's done sysadmin his whole entire career, it's not. It's going to be a huge jump for him to just go, okay, here. He might get, let's say, let's go ahead and use Snort. He might get it deployed, he might get it this, but he doesn't know what he's looking at. You know, sysadmins know how to handle the end user stuff or what the company needs. But an attack comes, he might not know what the hell it is. So that's a huge problem. That's a big problem that we have with intrusion detection system. The people deploying it are the ones that really don't know what they're doing. And then you have big companies as well hiring people that also don't know what they're doing. And there's plenty of experience where I work, where you'll hire someone, and you can ask them a TCP/IP question, they're like, what? So it's like, and you're an engineer?
Yeah, we got some questions. I'm sorry, guys, right here in the front.
Yeah, just maybe back to that logging issue. I know that's a big issue. If you're not going with a managed solution, can you guys make a recommendation as to a solution, either, you know, one you can purchase from an open source solution, for essentially managing and reviewing logs, not just coming from IDSs, but in a lot of different places. And then small-sized companies, enterprise-wide companies, you're going to have firewall logs, IDS logs, a lot of different things that are coming in. What are some of the things either you've used, you've seen used, or you would recommend be used for both medium-sized companies and enterprise companies in that type of environment?
One thing you said about managed services, don't assume they get it right, because they sure as hell don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I've worked with ArcSight, and it's, if you have $1 million, buy it. If you don't,
what?
$1 million, yes. Cost ArcSight? ArcSight costs $1 million.
Okay, so that's out of the realms of about 95% of the people in this room.
Okay,
so
but
what
if
other
you do
solutions
find
are we at?
Open source that correlates that good, give me an email.
So you guys can't?
Correlation, the closest open source thing I've seen that does some more correlation will be what he mentioned, Prelude.
Consolidation, maybe?
Consolidation and easy reporting.
I have to say, I'm a vendor. I work for Enterasys. I write Dragon. So
We do have,
through our HIDs, we can take any logs, and it goes to our central server. We can take all of our logs, goes to a central server. So we can do our own correlation. That's, I think, where you go from open source to buying a commercial product. That's what you get for going there. Somebody's asking. Can tell me I'm wrong.
No, that's fine. That works. Are they hiring?
As far as the event correlation, do you guys do the commercial products that you guys are aware of? Do they dive into the correlating operating system level logs along with host based IDS and network based IDS, or are you mostly seeing that the commercial vendors are still taking firewall logs and IDS logs and telling you whether or not they match up?
We do that to some extent, but I can only speak for one IDS. So.
I can I can't really speak for that much. Don't have there's. It's just what I deal with is just network traffic as a data source. That is what I do, and you have host traffic, but anything on Real Secure does a host base for NT. You know, anything out of the ordinary, and a min account gets locked up, we have any account gets locked up, you have 100 alerts. So in a network of 10,000 users in an office, it's overwhelming no matter what. You have, let's say, 300 people come into work, you know, it's a long weekend, they were drinking, and, you know, have caps lock on, try it 3 times, I have 700 alerts. So it's bad.
We had a question right here.
Yeah, I wanted to come back to the issue of talking about the need for highly technical, competent people handling an idea.
Yeah, let me.
That's where you hear a lot of the immaturity of ideas. What do you guys, as commercial vendors and users of ideas, think that, where does the ideas need to go so that you can get that two-year person to be much more competent?
What sort of changes need to occur so that somebody that's a two-year sysadmin will be competent and be able to make good decisions about an IDS?
I don't think they need to change for the person admitting them or monitoring them. If there's no sense, to me, in my humble opinion, they are easy enough as it is. If you have 2 years' experience with anything, you should adapt. You should apply yourself some more to get that knowledge on your own. I don't think an IDS should transform to make it easier. It would help, but then, of course, the errors and mistakes will come a lot easier as well. So user education is the main thing. It's no sense of making it easier. User education is supposed to be the hardest thing. I know, I can understand I'm entry level and I got hired, thank God, but a lot of people like me won't have the chance to. I can understand that, but anyone else? Sure. I don't know how you vendors do it.
We do get a number of comments such as yourself. We have... just in our NIDs alone, we have more than 100 keywords to help you tune and pick out exactly what you want from your network. We do have, you know, we're constantly doing work on our interfaces to make it easier for people to understand. But we don't ever want to, I mean, that's kind of what we made our name in doing is, you know, for the hardcore. If you want to get in under the hood and change whatever you want to change, write your own signatures, you know, do whatever you want to do, we give you that framework to do it. And we don't really want to walk away from that.
I'm going to disagree with some of these guys, and I think that everything in computer technology in the last 30 years has continued to get simpler and easier to use, and the front ends for it have gotten better, and you still have a need for the hardcore people that you're going to call. You know, this, I don't have any idea why it's telling me this. It says that there's a problem, and I can't trace back what the issue is. You're going to get on the phone with your vendor, your middle tier of managed support or something and call them. But I think that you're going to see the, you know, somebody that sat down with a product, you know, a week training, spend 3 months with it, and they're competent enough to you know, make decisions on a day-to-day basis that yes, this alarm is a problem, this alarm isn't. And I think that that's where you're going to see IDS go in the next couple of years. Did you have a question still, or are you all set? Oh, the data processing that
load processing.
Yeah.
Some of them even claim to do hardware.
Yeah.
ACID claims ACID. It's web based. You have that opens other ventures up for you to get quote unquote owned. Go ahead and go to Google and type ACID_admin.php, and you'll see what you'll get. You'd be surprised. So when you try to, like again what I stated with his question, when you try to make things easier, you open yourself more to more errors. Like your intrusion, your console or your management system should be locked down. You don't want to open another hole. You have to load Apache with PHP, you know?
Well, yes, but you can do it on an internal machine.
Of course, but who does?
Good point.
I'm serious. Out of, let's say, the 30,000 ACID users, about 29,000 post-to-snort users asking how do they compile or how do they use ACID. So,
I see. I was actually thinking more about the use of information that you can get out of that, how helpful they are, and are commercial tools really doing much better? There's a difference between correlation and reporting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone does reporting, nice HTML pages.
Mm-hmm.
Diagrams, all sorts of things. Correlating events
My experience is the vast majority of the companies that are claiming correlation are giving you, are telling you that they're capable of importing log files from other companies. Not that they are necessarily giving you useful, you know, you saw this on this system and I saw this on this system. That means that, you know, that was probably actually a true attack when normally your system would say that wasn't. I'm not seeing that sort of thing occur in very many systems. Some of the higher end stuff, they're starting to get there.
Yeah, but even on one system, say you have two different events on one and the same target system in two different days, 2 days apart. Can you really do something like that? Can you really look for something like that? Can you really find that in the data? Is there an easy way in any one of those to
I think that'd be going into custom. I'd be going into custom code. That's, you know, it's easier to, if you want to see something, you code it yourself. Basically, what you said is correlation, pretty much what they mean is reporting. When a lot of the open source and stuff, when they mean correlation, they'll just group all the attacks from one certain signature, then they group all the attacks from another certain signatures. That's not really correlation at all. But to what you want, I don't know ACID in and out like I should, but what you want, it would probably be going into custom code. Not that I know of.
I wouldn't even say that the commercial world does it. I would say that it's still an evolving technology. It will get better over time. But even now, I think he's sort of right. I mean, you grab all the logs and you throw them in one spot and you do some reporting. People will confuse that and call it correlation. But, you know, even the correlations that is done now is simplistic, even, I think, in commercial solutions. So that's something you're going to have to wait on. Or, as you said, code it yourself.
I saw a question in the back here. Yeah, right here.
What are the top three IDS programs, and also what is the best hardware configuration?
What is the best what?
You're asking for top three IDSs the hardware platforms that they're running on.
Well, it all depends on...
Yeah, market penetration in different spots. I will tell you, there's a few big commercial players, and really Snort is the large open source IDS, I would say. So as far as the commercial ones, obviously, we've got ISS is real.
I would rank,
whatever.
Even though I would rank Dragon really, really high up, Snort is in the top three as well. And... everything else I've played with doesn't deserve to be ranked.
Yeah.
What have you played with?
I've played with StealthWatch. I've played with Dragon. I've played with ISS, Real Secure, Snort, Commercial, and Open. It's just PHP. That's what I can discuss I've played with.
Cisco?
I actually played
the
with
Cisco Blades.
Yes, which is, you know, you should just, it's a good doorstop. That's about it.
Do we still have a question here?
What was hardware question? I don't know. When you say hardware, I mean, in what kind of a situation are you going to put that hardware in? Is a gigabit solution or 100?
Well, you got to understand it's per what you need basis.
So we're looking at a large commercial website and monitoring the internal network somewhat as well. Obviously, you need several sensors, so you're looking at, you know, modest hardware platforms with a couple of NICs in them, and then you're talking about an
app. E3 up should do you fine. Most appliances they sell you are, you know, dual 1.1s. I know Dragon's appliance is a 1.1 gigahertz as well.
Yeah, I think we've moved up. Yeah, it's their dual P3s.
Yeah, so as far as, you know, once you've got the sensors in place, you know, I mean, I'm doing lots of monitoring with P2300s, you know, and a couple of nice NICs in them. As far as the sensors go, and all they're doing is reporting back to a database and a central analyst console, which, you know, is geared towards how much data are you sorting through. You know, you separate out your front end and your database and put them on two massive machines because you're going through 30 gig a log a day. Well, you need a quad 4 Xeon and, you know, 2 terabytes disk space and 4 gig of RAM. Not that I know that particular hardware configuration for any reason, but if you're talking about some small analysts, you know, your desktop is your front end for your workstation, and you know you're talking about a mid-range P3 for your back end. You know.
Well, again, what do you want to see?
Yeah.
That's the problem with IDS is it's what do you want to see? Me being, I don't care what's outside of my firewall. I could care less.
Actually,
I have one internal.
Can we step aside and ask that question? Do any of you guys deploy IDS outside the external firewall?
At home, no. I just don't care. You have spray and pray all day long. There's just no point.
Other comments? Are you seeing it deployed outside the firewall?
Yeah, I've seen customers who put one outside, kind of office. They want to know what the traffic load, what the attack load in their bandwidth is, and they will deploy them internally as well.
No, most clients that I've ever dealt with have had them outside the firewall because they are, I want to see what's up. Because, again, a problem with IDS, network-based is attack successful or not? That's why you also want to see that. But for a home user or maybe a 10-machine network outside, or if you know what you're doing is sufficient enough, the whole cloud of guests, then there's no point of doing it outside. Now, if you're nosy and you want to see what's up, go ahead, go for it.
So in a situation like you're talking about, if I were just approaching this from the outside, I'm not a vendor or anything. I work for private industry, and all I protect is our particular site. You would be looking at something in front of your web server, something in front of your database server, tying in your firewall logs and your IDS logs together, as well as whatever your web server logs are giving, and that would be the picture that you're trying to look at right there. So, another question right here.
Information from a file server, they're not doing some kind of BIOS attack against it, they're just requesting a file. What are some of the things that are configurations that you know about in order to weed out some of that noise?
I'll touch on that. I think a big part of that is that you have to work with somebody that knows your network. When you put the system in place, it's going to give you so many alerts, you're not even going to believe it. But once you figure out, those calls to NTP servers, that is my NTP server, define all my DNS servers so that, we know, get the DHCP servers in there, these are the web servers that are supposed to exist internally. My HP OpenView box, yes, that's making those SMMP trap calls, and those aren't bad. That's up for debate. Once you put the system in your environment, you need to work with it to define what's important. And that's where I think that expertise from either a higher level engineer or a company that's helping you put their product in place so that they can help you say, no, that traffic that you're seeing to that box that occurs all the time is because that box was compromised 6 months ago, and you don't want to, when you make your baseline say, yeah, that's okay, because I've seen sensors tuned to ignore traffic that was bad traffic because the person that was implementing them didn't understand. So
one setup I've seen was where they put an anomaly detection system internally to basically make a structure of what's normal. And then once that built the string matching IDS according to that traffic. Now I know you can, with anomaly, you can't, with that time frame of, you have to have a time frame of, okay, this is normal, and then you make your threshold, you can't pass this, you can't do that. But the problem with that is you can't verify that what the anomaly detection system saw was normal. But I've seen that deploy where they'll stick it in there for 3 weeks of operation, have a long-term analysis or someone analyzing the packet, seeing, okay, this all looks normal, then they base their internal policy off that traffic. So then anything outside of that, you know, you have your signatures, then that will go ahead and give you a strong hold of your internal network.
If I can add to that, going back to the education, you have to have, I mean, IDS is more of a jack of all trades, because of course you got to differentiate what's good, what's bad, internally, externally, coming in. How about to add to the brain?
Yeah.
You really have to know your network. I mean, you have to know what traffic, what signatures are being tripped. I mean, obviously if you get all Unix boxes and you're getting IIS signatures being tripped, that's a given. Yeah. So, I mean, you really have to know your network. You really have to, like, constantly update your security policy, set baselines every couple of months. I mean, just to get the true picture of what is legitimate, what's not. It can't be just a one-time thing. I mean, it's constantly changing.
And tuning is a long-term project.
Yeah, like he said, he's seen some people put in anomaly detectors for 3 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. But what you run into is end of month comes up and different things run. End of quarter comes up and different things run. End of fiscal year comes up and different things run. So, you know, what is normal for different times of the year is maybe not the same. Did we still have a question in the back here? I know that we didn't get back to you.
Not there.
The question is regarding active response to IDSs, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys want to touch on that? Feelings, thoughts, things you've seen, bad stories?
We definitely always include it in Dragon, but it's honestly not something that I would employ in my own network. We can do like some, you know, it's marketed as lightweight firewalling and all that, but buy a firewall, you know, let it do its job. We can do it, but it's also not a perfect science. I mean, you can send TCP resets, UDP, you can send port unreachables, but, you know, that's best effort only. I wouldn't rely on it. And I definitely wouldn't let my IDS change my firewall one configuration. That'd be the last thing I'd do. But you guys want to add this?
Active response.
I'm bound by a contract, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Active response.
It's, a lot of people probably hate me for this, it's a way to go. You know, you have, it's nice, it's, well, it all depends on what type of active response you want to do. You want to insert firewall rules, don't do it. You want to just drop the packets, okay, you know, you might have a one pissed user. Oh, well, he can attempt it again. But with a strong criteria, the false positives should be minimized. And, you know, the whole thing with writing signatures is the more criteria you have it looking for, the less the false positives. The problem with that is a lot of, like, real secure is proprietary. So you can't really see, okay, you with those proprietary systems, you don't really want active response. Real secure attempts to do real secure kill where it sends resets to both sides of the connection. It's there. I can't say, but from what I've seen, their signatures suck. So their whole entire active response sucks, because you know you can pass something and it won't see it, and a web request, it'll kill that. So it all depends on what, there's different forms of active response. It all depends on what you want to do. Well, you have something, a blacklist.
Whitelist.
Either or. Let's take a SnortSAM, which is an active response for Snort, and you also have Snort Flexible Response. SnortSAM has a list of not to block. And then it has also DOS protection, where if it's seeing a lot of things from stuff, it'll crap itself out, which is not all that good, but it's DOS protection.
I have a question here. Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the proof of concept code that came up with? I think it's called Stick.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. And basically, if you guys know if
The question was about an application called Styx, which is designed to trigger snort alerts.
Right. It is a smokescreen attack. Basically, if you weren't following the TCP session, then you would just your logs would just get pummeled with alerts. So the IDSs that didn't, such as us, at the time, yeah, it was a state versus stateless. So, you know, we now file a state. So, and we'll get probably more and more robust over time. But, yeah, we definitely had to scramble when that happened.
You said you're from Dragon IDS?
I am.
Did you present at H2K?
No, I did not.
Did somebody from Dragon IDS present at H2K?
Probably. We do go out and talk a lot.
I believe so. It was a good talk.
Thank you. It wasn't me. Thanks, Ed.
I have some comments on the. There's various smoke screen IDS evasion techniques that rely on flooding the consoles. And my opinion on them is that if your goal is to avoid and evade IDS, blowing the console out is not the way to go, because I'm going to be logging all your faults and the true attack. And when I see my console go nuts, that just means that I have a long day ahead of me. You know, you just raised a red flag and swung it around, and you just made me miserable, so I'm going to do what I need to do to get you.
What was the question?
It was about Styx blowing out, flooding an IDS sensor.
Not correct.
Yeah. Question.
Do you notice any of the IDS hardware devices moving towards something that will incorporate into it some kind of SSL accelerator or type of device like that?
Let me touch on something that's probably not occurring that you think is, and that is that those SSL sessions that you're talking about are not terminating at the web server. They're terminating at an SSL accelerator, perhaps a Cisco SCA device, prior to hitting the web server, because large commerce sites offload their SSL traffic onto network equipment, and they place their IDS sensors behind that so that they're seeing clear text of your transaction in between the hardware decryptor and the web server. I don't know how these guys feel about it, but I can't see. I would not want to terminate an SSL connection at the IDS sensor. It's supposed to be passive, not anywhere in the stream of things. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, that's also why we have a host-based sensor as well.
Exactly. I want to touch on that. Host-based, you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Host-based, once the traffic gets decrypted, host-based will be able to see it. So. You know, it's all of that. And like, with you have IPv6, a lot of stacks won't understand it, but the actual host will. Well, that made no sense.
The sensors won't pick up.
Yeah, exactly.
The
a lot of the sensors won't pick it up, but the actual host will. So they vary, you know. Network traffic, basically, it very rarely is tampered with. Host traffic, it's kind of iffy if the logs have been tampered with. So they all have their advantages, but host base will be able to see the traffic or the session after it's decrypted.
Thank you.
We're talking a little bit about whether there's commercial or homegrown. I tend towards homegrown. I'm a programmer by training, more than a sysadmin, so. Okay, sure. I'll write a couple hundred lines of code today. That takes care of a morning. One advantage of that is that if somebody hacks the system, none of the standard things they're looking for are there, because they only exist on my system. So I have things that are just unusual. They're not necessarily good. They're not necessarily better. They're just different. And that confuses the robots.
Do we have another comment over here? Okay. We were talking in our session, or our just a little conversation at the registration desk. One of the things that IDS has to involve is administrators that know their systems. We, and I'm sure everybody sitting at this table, have seen attackers caught by having been logged into a system at the same time, or some other system goes off that lets you know what's going on. There's no reason that that box that runs at 15% CPU all the time jumped to 90 and stayed there. There's no reason that this box that gets, you know, 2 mega traffic a day is all of a sudden pushing 30 gig, you know. There's no reason that this system that never had an FTP server on it before now has an FTP server, you know. There's no reason why you're logged into an interactive session and all of a sudden you bog down and you're typing, you know, what's the top processes and you see somebody compiling something. You know, those are things that should be monitored in general in the environment from a quality standpoint, reliability, quality. You're looking at disk space, network traffic, processes, and those should raise flags for an administrator that knows their environment.
These things you described, these are the things that you just happened to catch when you were there. And since you're there, you're working, well, you tend to notice things that interfere with your work.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not like you're benchmarking your current installation in a far way. It's not like you are recording a workload or a CPU load or traffic on all the servers on a normal day and have that reference data elsewhere. Other than in your mind.
Yeah, you're right that a lot of that information would only exist in the minds of an admin that knew their environment.
So
but
does any vendor sell you some benchmarking tool that works for this sort of thing, or you know, collecting all sorts of diagnostics and just keeping them there?
You're seeing some stuff that like AI. Into the HIDs or IDs, I mean, whatever you got deployed, or I mean,
system operating.
At first, you just need to have the data. AI would be processing, right? But you need to collect the data systematically to start with, and that for a large installation is a big deal.
That would be a big deal. I don't know any products that do that.
Our host base does. It has a plug-in that monitors the systems, disk space and CPU usage.
You just place an agent.
Yeah, our host base is pluggable. You can actually write your own plugins if you want. So if we didn't have it, you could write your own, but we have one that you can plug in.
I mean, you know, obviously, in our environment, we know what all of the critical systems' operating parameters are. You know, the things that are running our accounting, our manufacturing systems, our web servers, we know if, you know, their memory footprint doubles. We know, you know, if they go up 30% CPU utilization, we would know about it. Just because part of tracking the environment is, maybe we just have damn good admins. I don't know. But, you know, you shouldn't be surprised by network traffic that peaks. You shouldn't be surprised by, you know, if a server starts running out of disk space. Those would be things that you should be looking at anyways. You know, our discussion centered around earlier, when somebody hacks into your system, in most cases they're looking to do something with it. Whether or not they're going to pirate first run videos, or they're going to, you know, run an IRC server off of it. They just wanted
drop
to...
Head drops.
Yeah.
Head drop robots was a big problem at a college I was teaching at.
You know, they're there for some reason, you know, a good percentage of the time. And I think that knowledge in the hands of the admins is we'll find some of that stuff. But it amazes me, some of these ISPs, small companies, whose server has been hacked for months and been used for stuff and, you know, been running FTP servers and WARE sites and, you know, being used to launch other attacks, and they only ever find out about it because some other customer that's aware gets attacked from them and comes back and says, hey, your server is hacked into, you're launching attacks against me, figure out what's going on, you know. Those situations happen so much, and the fact that admins are not aware of it, I think, really indicates an area where we need some training in the general level of administrators, because that stuff shouldn't be underneath the hood. You know, I mean, that should be stuff that you know, rises to the top and shows up.
Yeah, I got a comment.
Yeah.
In same respect, you're talking about watching servers. If you've got an enterprise, say 200 servers or more, there's no way a network admin or a group network admin can be on them watching for CPU utilization, things of that nature. And I think as we talk about IDS, and I think some of these things, the questions being asked, you know, how do we watch the servers themselves? I mean, if you think about it, there's a multitude of products that will watch the servers for you, and some of them are vendor specific, like Compact Insight Manager, or there's HT OpenView, and I understand some people don't want to use SMMP, that's whatever your opinion is, but there's a lot of these different, you know, Tibio, all these products can go out and watch the service for you, and then you can set standards and say, hey, if all of a sudden you see this service running, or if all of a sudden you see CPU utilization spike, then do the report. And in my opinion, that's a very big need hand-in-hand with intrusion detection systems. If you don't have both together, you may miss some. Just my opinion.
I would agree with you, and as an added bonus to that perhaps, I think that you can sell that to management based on a reliability factor. It's important for us to monitor our systems because these systems are important to us, not because somebody's going to hack into us and we're worried about that. You know, that scare tactic goes so far, and you should use it where it's appropriate, but you know, the fact that the ERP system may go down because you guys aren't paying attention to how much disk space it's using seems to be something that, you know, can get even a pretty stupid manager's attention.
You know, that brings up a point. Disk usage and CPU usage and are we discussing critical servers here?
I would assume so, but that doesn't necessarily, you know.
Now, take an e-commerce website. Let's say the new Harry Potter book is out. Now, that's a lot of false positives right there alone. Yeah, so, with your comment saying it's not possible, my group, we watched 5,000 host-based sensors.
Well, any additional tools, you log on to every one of those boxes?
Well, we have a client. They're, you know, they report back to the client.
Okay, so you have some like an HP OpenView or whatever.
I think your comment is that in order to look at more than a couple of servers, you need some sort of centralized management to baseline it. Yeah,
of course.
And I don't think anybody disagrees.
How else would you do it?
Yeah.
Well, the question came out earlier, what to use for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, most any commercial or otherwise have clients. RealSecure has a client. Dragon has the web-based. Anyone can log into and, you know, do active. They all have them. You have PureSecure with the Mark. You have all of them pretty much do it. Prelude has a very nice Perl interface. So they all have to do that. There's no way you can have an intrusion detection system and just tail F the logs. It's dumb.
But I would tie into that there are a lot of tools out there, and we use OpenView, and I've helped some small clients implement Servers Alive and MTRG for monitoring traffic. Some of those tools you're monitoring for the purpose of knowing what's there. You know, you want to know what your network bandwidth is to see if, you know, you need to increase your external connection at some point. You're monitoring your disk space of your servers, you know, because users are going to call and say, hey, I can't write my stuff out to the network. And then you find out that there's 2 gig of MP3s out there, and we tie into, you know, something else. But I guess something that we haven't talked about that has been a challenge for a lot of implementations is, how do you get somewhere on the network where you can see the data? Do you use tabs? Do you use span ports? Do you use host-based IDS? How do you get a wide enough view of the environment to be useful? And what are some of the challenges, you know, with that?
The main challenge with us is the sheer volume of traffic. You have, let's say we're on an OC line, you have that, plus the sensor responding back to the client is generating more traffic. So you have the traffic that generated the alert, and then you have the traffic from the sensor going back to the client, so it doubles it. So if you're getting 1,000, you're getting 2,000. So that's the biggest problem I have that with that. You know, the main thing is, of course, spanning ports, having the sensor see everything, and just distributing the load, as we said earlier.
Obviously, a lot of the equipment has limitations on the amount of span ports that you can afford to use. You know, it eats up resources, and some of them have hard limits on the number of span ports they allow.
We spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
What about taps, load balancers?
I don't know what load balancers we have in place, but I know they're scattered all over. Even our corporate network, it feels like 56K even though it's an OC line.
What about Greg? Was there
I don't do the actual deployments, but I honestly think taps are the way to go, either with optical or Ethernet. They're not that expensive. What you lose is the active response type stuff, because you can't talk back into those taps. But they're the easiest way to get where you need to get.
Can you explain really quickly what taps is?
Taps.
What a tap is? Basically, you've got a continuous Ethernet line. I tap into it, and what you get is that you get one in, one out, and then you get the other two ports give you one direction of the traffic each. There are some problems with it that we don't necessarily have to go into, but that because you're only seeing one side of the conversation on each of those ports out of the tap, one side grabs the out, one side grabs the in. There are some conversation-related items that are difficult to get unless the application that you're importing those two separate log files into knows how to interpret it. Like, for instance, how do you know that a SYN flood is going on against a host if you don't ever see the responses on that same capture? That's a big one. On my end, I'm seeing, thousands of SYNs an hour. Well, under a normal, if you were on shared media, you'd see the SYNACs coming back and you would know that was okay. When those SYNACs are in a separate log file, you can't tell that those were responded to. So that becomes a problem that has to be solved in the application portion of it rather than being apparent immediately.
I just think this is a design issue. I don't mean to be evangelical, but you either need to get a switch and you span it from there, or Dragon takes two inputs. So you just plug them both in. So
instant consolidation. That's a huge problem with network-based. They attempt to watch both sides of the traffic, but my main experience is with RealSecure, and you'll see an alert on response traffic, but you won't see the initial traffic. And you might see the initial traffic, but you won't see the response traffic. So it varies on what it has, and I'm going only with RealSecure since it's with the most experience that I have. That's a big problem. You're not able to see the whole entire session, even though they advertise you can.
You spoke about no. Just so that everybody knows, I'll slam on ISS's product too, because it is very difficult to use.
It's marketing keeping them alive. That's it.
But. You spoke earlier about the difficulty of the traffic generated on a WAN from the alerts. And that's a huge issue in particularly low-speed WAN links or international deployments, that I can't send the alerts back from our PIX boxes in Europe, for instance, because there's just simply not enough bandwidth on our WAN link to send all the syslogs that our PIX generates from our web servers in Europe. So in order to combat that, I have to put all of the processing capabilities locally. Well, that means I've got, another analyst console, I've got another web front end, I've got another database server. That eats up vast amounts of resources. I've got offices with 30 people in them. Does that justify deploying all of that equipment there to allow me to see that? Or does it make more sense to do something in between? I don't know how you guys' products and the products, you know. It's funny how he left right now. how you guys' products handle or the things that you've seen. I know that Albert and I talked about it's a problem. But has anybody here dealt with, in the panel or in the audience, small remote locations that have low-speed links that you have a need to capture data from?
Well, not really. We don't transfer. My problem is, otherwise, our link from our client is not high speed, and when you have 30 monitors, 30 people monitoring, attempting to go ahead and grab information, it kills it. I mean, completely kills it, where you lose your session. I won't say what we use to get in, but you just will lose your session. And then while you're in there, every single movement you do is generating more and more traffic. So to get around this, I don't know. I don't know what you can. What can you do to get around this? Because just to pull the information, you need to send more information.
Sure.
And then just sending alone is too much, and now you're giving more some. So I won't know.
Anybody in the audience dealt with some of this? Have any comments on small offices dealing with the fact that it's so difficult to get data back from them? Yeah, that sucks.
That's a good question. I'd like to know.
I hate that all the questions I come up with for the vendors and other people, it's like, yep, that's a problem. one thing, just a comment, one of the ways that we've gotten around it to some extent for some things is a store and forward sort of system. We store 100 meg during the day of stuff that we're interested in keeping. And rather than put the processor power there, we'll just, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning, we'll dump the logs back to our main facilities, and then we have the tools available to work on them. So, yeah, don't say that near the mic. Go ahead.
It's kind of a long line to what I left here earlier. You said you manage like 5,000.
We have the biggest ISS deployment ever.
Now, I'm not sure if that's for a single corporation or for multiple corporations.
This is for one global client. This is just one.
Exactly. And that's what I was curious about. When you have 5,000...
That's only host-based.
What?
That's only host-based.
Sure. Host-based systems reporting back internally. How do you get any useful data out of that? I mean, you've got to be pulling down hundreds of megs of data.
Oh, no.
It is.
Yeah.
You can't, but...
I can't comment on his, but it's way more than hundreds of megs a day, let me tell you. I'm seeing tens of gigs on much smaller.
We've seen terabyte databases die in a week.
How do you get useful data out of something like that? And then that's kind of along the lines of what I was asking earlier in terms of, you know, when you have that many different systems reporting, what do you use to get useful information out of that?
You don't, but you do what the client wants you to do. That's the problem. I can sit there and look at all them things, and the sheer amount won't let me do shit, pretty much. I can sit there and look at them one by one, even if it's one by one. Postbase generates a lot of traffic. So with those 5,000, you can't do much. There's no, pretty much, even though this is what I do for a living, I don't get shit, no useful information whatsoever.
What's the best way to monitor a large number?
People.
This isn't something you can filter or tune better so that you don't get so much stuff. I mean, those all can't be attacks.
No, they can't. But we can filter, but to do anything, it takes 3 months. You know, it's just that policy we have with the client. You know, to add a machine, to add a sensor, it takes 3 months. So, or even to push a policy, it takes 3 months.
Hypothetically, what would be the best type of an environment or system?
Well, like he said, filter it. You know, there's when we do our logs, when the consoles see everything, but when we do long-term analysis, we filter a lot of it out. So the long-term analysis copes with what the monitoring people are seeing. So you know, it goes hand in hand. So long-term analysis basically covers our ass.
I think in his situation, it's hard because you don't really get the opportunity to tune and and filter as you would if you own these things. I think that you can tune these systems to produce manageable results. so that it's usable. Otherwise, well, I mean, throw them away.
Yeah. If you're not going to look at them, you just spend a lot of money for nothing.
If you can't get any useful information on them, then you're wasting your time and money.
So just out of curiosity, 2 terabytes isn't really figure that's out of the world.
No, that would be like the system I just spec'd last week.
I've seen terabyte servers go dead. And to give you a story, and here's how one of them died, ISS came in.
He keeps drinking.
There's not enough alcohol to drown that sorrow.
ISS came in, and when we bring vendors in, it's because they have a contract for us. So they came in, and they were like, okay, look, to show you that we know what the fuck we're doing, we're going to deploy some sensors. Well, they deployed the sensors. They deployed internal sensors with external policies. Now, if you know, that's real, real bad. So any SNMP traffic internally that's allowed, because our security policy is, it's not allowed coming externally. So in that day alone, we had over, in a day where that actual console, monitoring maybe 12 network-based systems, would get maybe 30 gigs, it crapped out the whole entire database in just one day. So it can happen. One little misconfiguration, you can call it a day.
That's a good point, too. Misconfigurations. What I've experienced is you have to be very aware that your sensors are up and running and collecting data properly. Because of their tune, they're relatively quiet. So are they relatively quiet because they're not seeing anything critical, or are they quiet because a week ago they dropped offline because they had a power outage that you forgot about, and they've been off ever since? So you have to treat sensors just like any other managed device in your environment. You have to make sure they're up, make sure they have disk space, so on and so forth, that they're not being owned themselves.
Well, I think that makes the case for, penetration testing. Making sure that your systems are operating effectively. Whether it's penetration or bought some software to do it, you need to know if they're working, if the thresholds are set properly.
One thing that I would encourage for everybody, and this isn't directly related to IDS, but it has to do with knowing that your environment's been owned. Find some way to scan the external address space of your network on a regular basis and make sure new, unusual boxes and ports don't show up. It is so easy to do and makes such a difference.
A thing you could do is tokens. This is a nice concept that you could do. IDSs miss things. Shit happens. But what you could do, let's say, a nice way to, instead of having host-based every single place, you could have one sensor in watching outbound traffic. What you could do is place a certain file on each machine, something that'll look appealing to if someone breaks in, and have a signature for that on the outbound sensor. So that, if you see it, you shouldn't be seeing it because no one knows it's there and it's sort of appealing. That way, you wouldn't have to have one on each system. That can help you, and that's like a token. They came up with honeypots called a honey token, where you would have that would alert you on, hey, something's going on, you shouldn't be seeing this file being passed on, or him transferring it back to his machine, and there you go. You might have missed the initial attack, unknown O-day, whatever you want to call it, but now you have that, and from there you can gather even more information for forensic analysis.
That makes a great point that some things that you can observe or see or set up in your environment absolutely are a successful attack. If an administrator account logs our environment under administrator, that account was not used by our internal resources because the administrator accounts are no longer renamed, and the administrator account is now merely a trap for somebody logging in. Those sort of things, accounts that are never used, that if you see somebody log in with it, it wasn't supposed to happen. Trojaned GCCs so that if somebody attempts to compile with that compiler,
GCC
that's
is trojaned.
If you see somebody attempt to compile with that app, it should never happen. Those sort of things are big red flags that you can set up in your environment that say, yeah, okay, I just got owned, but at least I know it. You know?
Do people actually put GCC on a critical server? I've seen it actually, yeah.
I don't even want to talk about some of the bad stuff that's out there. But just, I don't know, we're trickling off. We got more questions left, or should we wrap this up? Okay, there we go. Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, although I've done other things besides IDS, like I said, I hate to state the obvious. I don't want to, you know, insult anybody's intelligence, but know your network. Know what traffic is legitimate. Know what services are running, what ports are open. I mean, depending on the size of your network, the subnets, number of subnets. I mean, it is pretty, like I said, since I'm pretty much dedicated to the analyst side of IDS, it's just a given of knowing, you know, what's right, what's wrong in your network as far as traffic. That's all I can say. If you want to email me later, I can tell you more, but it's just knowing, you know, what's usual traffic, what's not. I mean, any time of day, any time of week, from one workstation to another workstation, what critical servers? I mean, yeah, it's just another layer in security. I mean,
when you say there's another layer in security, I'll touch on. You shouldn't even be considering IDS if you don't have good policies in place, procedures for how you administer your environment, knowledge of how your environment is set up. All of your systems are hardened and patched. You know, that you're not running unnecessary services. There's a lot of baseline work that should be done prior to even considering using IDS. And if that stuff's not being done, you need to spend your resources there and get your systems in a state where it's relevant whether or not you're looking at the fact that they're being attempted to be hacked. Because if you deploy IDS, you have to plan on the resources to manage, or you're just wasting your time dipping your feet in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I have a for me to even, let's say you send me a resume, for me to even look at you, I require that you have a very, very strong attack knowledge. To me, if you're going to be monitoring IDSs or even deploying them, you have to know what an attack actually looks like. You have to be able to decipher an attack packet by packet. So, not just knowing, okay, I know what an IDS is, I know the different types of them, and I know how to deploy one. That ain't shit. You have to actually know what the hell to look for. So for me to even look at you or even attempt to hire you, you have to have a strong attack knowledge. So I can throw you a 143 meg PCAP from DEF CON 8, and you can actually tell me what the hell is going on.
Did you have a comment?
I was just going to say, in the end, an IDS is nothing more than an intelligent logger. And it doesn't, intrusion detection sort of constrains it into a spot where it can do much more. I mean, you want to write signatures that have keywords that are your trade secrets and apply them to your email. You can catch employees trying to, send out,
stuff.
Sell your secrets, right? So
send out sales quotes.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be careful. You have to tune it. But so in the end, it's just an intelligent logger. You have to know what to tell it to log that makes sense for you. To summarize,
are there any products
you guys familiar with wireless IDS stuff?
Snort. Ooh. Snort has a wireless plugin. It's crappy as hell, but it's a step in the right direction. Go ahead and give it a try. Cerberus.sourcefire.com, and that'll point you straight to the link.
There is a couple of things that I've seen some papers on, and I haven't evaluated the products. There's at least two companies, I can't remember their names off the top of my head, that are. They work with the access points, and I don't know.
I want to touch on something that we haven't touched on. The big problem with IDSs now, as I see it, is you have Snort. Let's say they have 9,000 signatures. You have Dragon, which a lot of their signatures are based on Snort. You have Real Secure, where a lot of the signatures is based on Snort. So we have, let's say we have 18 IDSs. They're all looking for the same thing. We need to have each their own entire language. Now, I don't know what Real Secure signatures look like. It's proprietary, I'm assuming here. So that's what we need each machine to have. You know, you have a layer for that. You know, you have a layer. I can understand Snort rules. I can understand Real Secure rules. I can understand this. So if Real Secure comes out with a rule faster than that client or than that actual vendor. But that the problem is that you have all these machine, all these products looking for the same exact thing. That's a big problem. So if one doesn't come out with the other one, like the whole ISS WebDAV stuff, Manhunt came with one, Snort used that one. It could have used that one, but the false positives. So now you have two intrusion detection systems with huge false positive rates. I'm not a fan of anomaly or protocol flow or any of that nature. I'm not a fan of that. And to me, the strongest right now, if they make their with the whole situation where Karen Kent Frederick, Karen Kent now, the whole thing with her is, you know, you have to have more criteria to look for instead of making them broad. You know, okay, I want you to look for TTL05 and alert. You don't want to do that. You want to have, let's say, 10 things to look at and lower your false positives. Once we get once we get to that strong, then maybe we can move on. But until then, there's no point, in my opinion.
I am in agreement with you. And my thoughts on the matter of anomaly-based detection in terms of traffic flow and so on and so forth is there was a lab in the Navy that three PhD statisticians got to examine for over 2 years. And their conclusions about what normal traffic is that workstations that perform similar functions have similar traffic types. Wonderful. Thanks for the info. So normal traffic doesn't exist. Yeah.
I don't want to get into my IDS is better than yours, but
it is.
If the majority of the IDS out there are using the same rule base, what distinguishes one from the next?
Well, I think we need to get marketing.
I don't think that we actually take from Snort, because we have a whole research team that does nothing but...
Dragon.
I'm sorry. It was Von Gula, actually, but...
Marty wrote Dragon. Go ahead. No offense. Marty also stole Snort from GTE, but we won't
outside
get into that.
If we expand to say outside of the rule base, which is going to be very similar, I would imagine, you know, there's going to be some small positives, but it's going to be very similar. What are the major advantages of one versus the other? And not even going to manage systems, because that's an entirely different area, and some of my area for you, but if you're doing it on your own, what are the major differences between the IDSs?
So do you want to start about that?
Go ahead.
Well, we have a better processing engine, or we can do that.
Right. I'll start, and these guys can make me honest.
Okay.
what makes them different is... One of the hard things that IDS has to do is that it has to take the data and interpret it as the end host does, whether it's a Windows mm-hmm. box or Solaris box, or whether you're attacking an IIS server, an Apache server.
Very good point.
You have to know that, and the way that the engine is going to do that, the speed in which it can do that, is a major thing. And can it actually even do that at all? The other piece, you know, different IDSs have different engines. Dragon is primarily a pattern matching, although we're expanding that. You know, ISS bought the Network ICE engine, which is primary protocol analysis. So each has its strength and weakness. So that's a start. What do you guys think?
I'm sorry, I'm straying off a little bit of Frank. You bring up a good point of... Shit, I forgot.
I think you were headed towards it doesn't matter if the attack is against a host that isn't operating what the destination
exactly.
is.
You know, the problem is there's also I'm bringing up a lot of problems since I work with what can this not do. This is mainly what I focus on. Is like he said, most IDSs don't interpret it for the in host.
Yeah.
Let's say you have Real Secure on a Nokia trimmed down OpenBSD machine. How the hell is that going to know how a Win2K machine is going to act? Let's take the Crunchbox. I don't know if you guys know of the Crunchbox. Well, a way to bypass the crunch box is you send it, it had the telnet D overflow that came with OpenBSD. It was vulnerable, but it was blocked. What you do is the firewall could not understand IPv6. It would just pass it on. But the stack could understand IPv6. So once it decrypted, you had the overflow, and you had root on the machine. So stuff like that, that's the problem. And that was a firewall problem, but with the intrusion detection system, Snort can't handle IPv6. It won't alert on it. Now, if the actual stack can, we have a problem. So I don't know how we're going to go ahead and fix that, but for an intrusion detection system network-based to understand what each end host has available and how it would interpret it, it's just asking too much.
I think that some of what we're seeing is that the analysis console can be on some stuff, or from your viewpoint, can be programmed to filter out attacks that are grossly inappropriate for the destination host. There's no reason for me to look for Apache exploits on, an attack that isn't an Apache exploit destined to an IIS host that IDS shouldn't care. You know, there's no reason to tell me that that's a possible Apache exploit because the host doesn't care. So what you're going to see network mappers, vulnerability assessment tools, populating your analysis console with this host is running these things, and updating that list frequently so that you will have a current set of data for what this host is running. And I can ignore some of the attacks or put them at a much lower level alert because they're not relevant, probably.
Right. I think it's a question of ranking. You still want to alert because you might still want to know, but you would give that a score that was ranked lower in your console. And either you mentioned teaming up with vulnerability assessment. The other way is passive fingerprint. What's going on around you. So
something that I'm interested in, and we probably don't know, but we can speculate. In the antivirus world, they've made a pact that they won't withhold virus signatures from each other. They develop a virus signature, they share it with all their partners, they're part of a coalition. That has not happened in the internet filtering world because it takes so much resources to develop blacklists and so forth. They consider that company private information. Do you guys think that IDS vendors are likely to go towards some form of shared database, whether or not it's the MITRE CVEs or...
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's... Why would you?
I mean, exactly.
That's with money we're talking about.
It's part of the intellectual property.
I agree, but as a customer, I ask...
You want to see that, but you can't.
Yeah.
Because the thing that, let's go again with this, the WebDAV stuff came out, Manhunt had a signature. You know, these guys had a signature way before it was supposed. They had like 5.8, and their biggest update is about 2 points up ahead of that. But it's just, wait, if our users can get it from them, why the hell do they need us?
Now, I agree with you, but as a consumer and somebody that's worried about IDS as being successful, the question I bring back is if it's working for the antivirus vendors, why couldn't it work for intrusion detection as well?
It could. I think there's two answers. One, if you are a consumer, you get to see all of our signatures. Two, you can always go to White Hats, which we just kind of talked about. And that is a Snort database of people who contribute in a large community putting that together. So in a way, it kind of exists.
That's a good point. That is a shared resource and additional besides the core Snort rules that's available. Comments, or you're just going to keep quiet on this one? Okay. Any other questions? Right here in the back. The
Mancunt? It's, don't run it.
Who was there? Yeah, they bought who? They bought, what was it? Recourse, yeah.
They bought Recourse and Riptech and stuff. Just don't, seriously, you can stay away from it, you know.
Okay,
you need a doorstop.
Assuming he's in a situation where he already owns it.
If you have some, are you already using it?
Yeah, we're about to deploy it.
I suggest seriously, if you can have weigh that option, attempt to go look at a Dragon or something of that nature. My experiences with Manhunt have been extremely horrible. I rank it below Cisco, and Cisco's extremely bad.
I will say that Cisco's new stuff is not as bad as their old stuff.
I haven't played with the new stuff.
It is bad, but not as bad.
See, it's bad. Two people. Yeah. There you go. We're the panel of
so this, not the Symantec stuff. The Symantec stuff, you know. So, anything else? All right, guys. Thank you very much. Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't see you there.
One more.
Would you completely agree that it's pretty much impractical to report external attacks to ISPs?
No. No. I've gotten, I'm on a Comcast network, yay. And I've gotten a lot of response from the Comcast people, and actually in Maryland, they respond very, very quickly, and they do a good job, so I can't say. No, I have a ProScript that does it for me, grabs my snort logs and sends them off. Yeah. And I've done it, I'm very proud of myself that I got Earthlink to do something. I'm very, very proud of myself.
Earthlink, that's impressive.
Yes, it is.
What did you say you
used? It's a ProScript that I have. Yeah, and then, you know, you can, it helps. It generally helps. You know, Genuity won't do shit. There's just certain people that just won't do something, but go ahead and give it a try. You hound them long enough, they might do something about it.
My experience has been how carefully I craft the message that's going to them. If I say, this is who I am, this is what we ran, and why we believe this is the detect, here's a copy of the packet, you know, this is when it occurred, time zone, yada, yada, they're a lot more willing to respond if they believe that you're competent, rather than, hey, somebody hacked me because my Black Ice Defender went off. So just as you're thinking about if you want to try and get some ISPs to take action, consider they need information to work off of, or they just can't do it, for one thing. And they are not willing to engage in long conversations to get that information. So if you can give them everything that they're likely to need, present it professionally and just dump it in their laps, you get more responses than you would otherwise. You got comments?
As a ISP operator, I agree with everything you said. There's a lot of noise out there about false reporting, about Black Ice type messages. If I get a message that comes in that is obviously well written,
now, do you require a packet dump? Because
depends on what it is.
Let's say any attack should require. Damn it! Any attack should require a packet dump. For what my system is, I actually send the actual packet. Hey, look, you know, if you have anyone worth what they know, go ahead and look at it, and so you can see that I'm right. You can see it's coming from here. It's a problem. It's consistent. Blah 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 blah. Further reference here. Do you, as an ISP admin, require packet dump to actually do further? Because a syslog message or a black ice message or even one of his messages without actual information is worthless. Again. Now even script kiddies have the ability to use IP tables to fire themselves off. Now they can. There's actually out on the net where you can send CMD or code red or NIMDA requests at the level of the worm does. So if you go ahead and you scan them, and you don't see anything out of the ordinary, ISS ban or anything like that nature, you're automatically going to say, like, oh, this is nothing.
I always follow up with the customer that is perpetrating the attack to actually find out. So if say, it's an attack that is coming from a Windows host,
mm-hmm.
The machine is obviously
that as well, that now you have Sigwin and you also have XP where they can do raw socket. So you can send out spoof stuff. You would only expect that generally before XP with the Windows machine. With the Linux machine. So just categorizing like that, this is something Toby Miller, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, attempts to do, which I don't think is, you should be able to. You can't just carry, okay, Windows machine, you can only do these certain types of things. You can't. You know, what if he's doing NATing with a VMware machine? So there's, you know, that you have to investigate it a lot more. That's why I actually send a packet down. Look, he's doing this, this, and this, and this, and this. You know, these IP IDs are characteristics of this. TTL is a characteristic of this. Because you can have a VMware machine doing NAT using the same IP at host-based Windows 2000, guest OS, Linux. You can run anything you want from there.
I hate to say that. I mean, depending where the complaint comes from, you know, how much balls they have or how much pull they have in the industry, whether you'll take action or not.
It's a belief. You have to expend effort. If we're reporting something to you, you have to expend effort. I'm willing to try and make it easy for you, and I'm hoping that makes it more likely that you're going to assist me. You know, I think that's really what it boils down to. Do you believe me because we're in charge of a Class B and I gave you the information, or I'm some home user and I just kind of fired off an email? I think that's what it boils down to is how much information do I need to be willing to expend some time?
Right, and like
it's not personal, by the way.
No.
How much clout you have in the industry? Like I said, I'm not selling anything, but
ISS T-shirts.
You got ISS T-shirts for me?
Yeah. No, it's. Like I said, a lot of things come down to common knowledge. What game are you in? Who's going to listen to who? Who's got the most power? I mean, like I said, I hate to insult your intelligence, but yeah, if someone with a lot of clout comes down on you, you're going to probably make a change because most likely they have more pull than you do in a lot of different areas. I mean, it's
the way it is. I mean, there's structure everywhere in terms of who's important.
Yeah,
You deal with it every day at work. You deal with it every day dealing with people.
I mean, that's, without being specific, I mean, that's just how it is. It would be nice if everybody played together, but they don't. I mean, it's all about the Benjis.
Any other questions?
I gotta go. I gotta speak for 10 minutes.
Thanks, guys.